Thus far we read the Word of God tonight. The text is verses 5 through 10. We will reread that. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. Now ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. First Thessalonians chapter 1 teaches us that the members of God's elect church on this earth spread the gospel. That's what they do. They spread the gospel. In 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 4, Paul says that he knew that the members of the church in Thessalonica were elect. He knew that members there were elect. In the verses that surround verse 4, he explains how he knew that they were elect. In verses 2 and 3, he speaks of how he knew of their work of faith, their labor of love, and their patience of hope in the return of Jesus Christ. He spoke of certain virtues that they had there, faith, love, hope. Paul said, he was implying there, those virtues only flow out of election. Only someone who is elect has faith, hope, and love. It's very clear then. You members of the church in Thessalonica, you are elect of God, chosen by Him unto salvation. In verses 5 through 10, Paul really continues this idea. He speaks of more activities they do that show they are elect, that truth that's spoken of in verse 4. He speaks of their election of God in verse 4 and follows it up with more proof. He speaks of activities that they are performing, like sounding out the word in verse 8. That activity proceeds from election. God has chosen a people unto salvation from before the world began. He's chosen that people to do good works, to do things like sound out the word. As Paul says, I see that activity, I've heard about it. That makes it clear. You are elect. I know that. Sounding out the word is what members of the elect church do. Sometimes we say, I'm a member of this family, so this is how I act. Or I'm a member of this family, so this is what job I have. Well, we as members of the church, we say, I'm a member of God's church. So what I do is spread identity. That's what. Now we understand that is our identity, but some do have a greater ability, a greater gift to do that by the grace of God. They have a great gift to witness to others. This is not just an activity for some. This is an activity for all of us, an activity that we all do and that we are all called to do. The members of the church, God's elect church, they know their salvation. They know what they've been given in Jesus Christ, and they're thankful for that. And being thankful for that, they spread the word. They want others to know the wonderful truth of Jesus Christ and what He's done. That's what the church does. So, people of God, tonight, be encouraged to spread the gospel, to be a witness of Jesus Christ. We certainly know our wonderful salvation. We do. We heard about it already today. We read about it in family devotions around the table. We know that salvation. We're thankful for it. Thankfulness for it. Let's sound out the word. Let's be encouraged to do that by the power of the Spirit tonight. Let's consider this text under the theme, sounding out the Word. Sounding out the Word. And let's first look at the subject. What I mean by that is who sounds out the Word. Second, the sounding. And third, the support. Sounding out the Word. The subject, the sounding, the support. First, the subject, and that is who does this activity of sounding out the Word, of witnessing of Christ. Who does that? The church does that. The church that has heard the Word and received the Word. Who sounds out the Word? The church that has heard it and the church that has received that Word. First, understand that one must hear the Word if he is going to sound out the Word. The gospel came to the Thessalonians so that they heard it. They heard it. Verse 5 shows us that. It says, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Notice that phrase, our gospel came unto you. The word gospel there means good news. Good news. The gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ has come. And that all those who repent and believe in Him are saved. They're saved by Him. That's the gospel. The gospel is the word of the Lord. Both of those terms are used in verses 5 through 10. The gospel and the word of the Lord. They really mean the same thing. Gospel is the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is the gospel. Every page of the word is the gospel. It proclaims to us the good news that Jesus Christ has come. That those who repent and believe in Him are saved by Him. Now the preaching of the gospel, it came to Thessalonica. God sent Paul and Silas a vision of a Macedonian man. They were on their second missionary journey, and they were in Asia Minor. As they were in Asia Minor, God sent to Paul a vision. In that vision, a Macedonian man said to Paul, come on over and help us. God led Paul, see that this was a vision from him. God led Paul to Macedonia and led him to the specific city of Thessalonica. Led him the whole way by his providential hand. Led him right to that city. And the Thessalonians, they heard the good news. They heard the preaching of the good news that the Savior had come. And that those who believe and repent, they are saved by Him. They heard that good news. They heard that call to be sorry for their sins and believe in Jesus. Now keep an eye here on our broad theme, sounding out the Word. Understand that if these Thessalonians had never heard the Word, they never would sound it out. The preaching of the gospel has come to us too. It came to the Thessalonians back then, it's come to us. That's an amazing thing. How amazing that really is. But the gospel, the preaching has come to us. Of all the people in the world, come to us. It came to our parents, came to our forefathers. True gospel preaching. We have true gospel preaching right now with our minister here. It's a wonderful thing. We hear the good news twice each Sunday. Children, you hear the good news that Christ has come. You hear that in the catechism room on whatever day you have catechism. Wonderful thing. See the importance of that again, though. Without the preaching of the gospel coming to you, you would never sound forth the word. Who sounds forth the word? First of all, only those who have heard it. Heard it. That gospel preaching that came to Thessalonica, it was accompanied by the Holy Spirit. They heard preaching there that was accompanied by the Spirit. That comes from verse 5. We read in verse 5, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. The preaching of the gospel then that they heard, it did not just come to them in word. It was not as if Paul was just speaking some random words to them or even giving a lecture like a college professor might do. He wasn't doing that. No, the preaching of the gospel came to them, and it came to them in power. That means that the preaching was accompanied by power. And that word for power in verse 5, it comes from a word in the original language from which we get our word dynamite. This power that accompanied the preaching was a dynamic power. Paul and Silas, they were bringing the gospel accompanied by power and by the Holy Spirit, the text says. The Holy Spirit. The Spirit was the power present in the preaching. The Spirit was the power present there, moving the hearts of men. Hearts of God's people, Thessalonica. Paul and Silas were bringing the gospel accompanied by power, accompanied by the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance. That's the last thing verse 5 says, accompanied in much assurance. The Holy Spirit was present in the preaching, really assuring Paul and Silas that what they were bringing was the Word. This was the truth. This was the gospel. Wonderful thing. Thessalonian believers there in that church could even tell that there was something different about this preaching that they were hearing with their ears. Something very different than what they were accustomed to when people would come to that city and speak. We read at the end of verse 5, it says, we'll read the whole verse again, "Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." He's saying, you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. You could see the difference. Other people would come to Thessalonica and they would make speeches to try to make money or to become popular or famous. But the Thessalonians saw that Paul and Silas were not like that. They were coming truly seeking the good of this people, truly seeking their salvation in Jesus Christ. It's different. The Spirit was present there. In Paul and Silas, the Spirit was present in their preaching. That's what made it different than any regular speech they had ever heard. The preaching that we hear, that we need to hear, that too is accompanied by the Holy Spirit, by power, and in much assurance. The preaching of the gospel has not come to us either simply in word. We're not simply hearing a discourse every Sunday about how we are to live. No, the preaching is accompanied by power, a real power, and we've experienced that. The preaching is accompanied here by the Spirit. We've experienced the Spirit's work in our hearts as we hear the word proclaimed. The preaching is accompanied by much assurance. The one who brings the word, he brings that word with conviction. With assurance that what he brings is the Word. The Spirit is present there in the preaching, assuring him of that. The preaching of the gospel, then, accompanied by the Spirit, is heard by us. Now again, keep in mind what we are doing here tonight. Sounding out the Word, the main idea. Who does this? Well, first, understand that it's only those who have heard the preaching and heard the preaching that's accompanied by the Holy Spirit. But in the second place, understand that it's only those who have heard the gospel and received the gospel. Only they sound forth the word. Only those who have heard it and received it. The Thessalonian church, they received the gospel. That's verse 6. "You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction." They received the word or the gospel that they heard. And that word "received" there, it means believe. Believe. They received it. They heard the preaching of the gospel. They heard the truth that Jesus Christ has come, and that those who repent and believe in Him are saved. They received that gospel. They said, that's true for me. I believe that Jesus Christ has come for me and that He has died for me and given to me eternal life. I believe that. The Thessalonians received the word, as emphasized by what is said also in verse 8. They had a Godward faith. A Godward faith. That Godward faith that refers especially to the activity of faith. They were trusting and believing that Jesus was their Savior. Now we too have received the gospel. The Thessalonians did, and we too have believed the good news. You have heard the truth that Jesus has come. You've heard it many times. You've heard the truth that those who repent and believe in Him are saved. You've heard that. And you believe. You believe you have salvation. Jesus Christ. Now understand that we, as well as the Thessalonians, we receive the gospel. We believe it is true for us only because of the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. He's the one who works in us to believe. Remember that verse 5 said that the Holy Spirit is present in the preaching. We talked about that. The Holy Spirit is present in the preaching. Well, that shows that we only believe because of the work of the Holy Spirit through the preaching. We only believe because He's present there, working powerfully in us as children to believe the truth. It's so obvious if you think about the Thessalonians and the situation that they were in. You ask, would these Thessalonians ever believe this preaching in their own strength? Think of who they were. They were people that had served idols their entire lives. They lived in an idolatry-filled culture. That's all they ever knew. If left to themselves, they would hear Paul and Silas preaching the gospel and they would say, that's nice, but we don't really care. That sounds like a nice message. Maybe it's good for you to believe that, but we think that our idolatry-filled life is a lot more fun. That's what they would say, if left to their own strength. The same would be true of us without the power of the Spirit in the preaching. We would hear the gospel message and we would say, I don't really need that. I need medicine, I need friends, I need to have a good time on Friday and Saturday sometimes. I need those things. I don't really see a need for a Savior from sin in my life. That's what we would say. Left to ourselves. But that's not how it is. That's not how it is for us because of the work of the Holy Spirit. He's present in the preaching and He works in us, His people, to believe. He moves us through the power of the preaching to say, I believe that Jesus is my Savior. I believe that He died for me and I love Him. Spirit is preaching. We've experienced that. It's a wonderful thing. Give thanks. The Spirit's presence in the preaching is so powerful that these Thessalonians received the gospel even in the midst of affliction. Verse 6 says, ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. By the Spirit's power, these Thessalonians were receiving the word even while they were experiencing affliction. And that word affliction is a very picturesque word in the original language. That word affliction, it really means to be pressed, to be squeezed. And the idea is that the way is made very difficult for you. The way is made very small. You're being squeezed, you're being pressed. That was what was happening to the Thessalonian Christians in their lives when Paul was writing to them. They were in a very difficult environment. They were in affliction. It may have been that their heathen friends were telling them that they were so foolish for leaving this worship of the gods. We are no longer going to talk to you. We don't want anything to do with you. In fact, we're going to hurt you. Maybe there was even physical harm that was put upon these people. Maybe there were threats to their own businesses. Maybe no one would do business with them because they were worshiping this Jesus Christ. Whatever they faced, it was very difficult. But the Spirit worked so powerfully in their hearts that they believed, and they continued to believe even in the midst of that affliction. Power. And they even received the word with joy. Joy of the Holy Spirit. They didn't even say, "Oh, yes, we believe, but this is a pretty horrible life." They didn't say that. No, the Spirit was working them in them to believe and giving them joy as they believed. They saw truly how wonderful it was that they had the Savior. They saw truly how wonderful it was that they had eternal life in Him. So they received the Word with joy, even in the midst of affliction. That's power. That's the Holy Spirit. He's sovereign. Now the Holy Spirit, He's so powerful that He works in us too to receive the Word even in the midst of affliction. We've gone through affliction. Some of us have gone through much more affliction than others. You may have known that receiving the gospel and living for Jesus Christ would really tear apart friendships. Friendships that you've had with someone your whole life long. Maybe you knew that continuing to believe in Jesus Christ would lead to a separation from your children. They no longer would want to be with you. That's hard. That's very hard. But you receive the gospel, and you continue to receive the gospel because of the sovereign power of the Holy Spirit. He works. He works through the preaching. And He works through the preaching so that you even receive that word with joy in the midst of trouble. You know what you have. So in summary, sounding out the word, that's what we're looking at. Who does that? Those who have heard the word and those who have received that word, believed it. Now the sounding, that activity. The Thessalonian church was sounding out the word to others. They were sounding it out. Now there's a connection between receiving the word and sounding it out. Connection is this. After they received the word by the power of the Holy Spirit, after they received it, they sounded it out. And that comes right from the text. In verse 5, we read that the gospel came to them. They heard it. In verse 6, we read that they received that word in much affliction. Verse 7, having received that word, they were examples to others that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And also having received that word, they were sounding it out. Verse 8, sounding it out. Verse 8 begins by saying, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord." That's exactly how God works in our lives too. He brings the word to us. We receive it. We believe by the Spirit's power. And believing, we live out of our faith. Believing, we live out of our faith and we seek to spread the word. To sound out the truth. Now, what does it mean? The Thessalonians, verse 8, says they sounded out the word of the Lord. What does that mean? A message means that you are like a broadcast tower that spreads a message far and wide. That phrase, sound out, it actually comes from a Greek word from which we get our word echo, our English word echo. Sounding out a message, really echoing that message. Echoing that message, repeating it again and again so that many people hear it. Now, that very word echo shows to us that those who sound out a message, they're not the first ones who have spoken that message. No, what's happened is they've received the message and now they're spreading it out. That's the idea. You're not the original source of the message. You've heard it and now you repeat it. Now to understand what it means to sound out a message, think of a radio tower. Think of a radio tower. A radio tower, they receive a signal or they receive a message from a radio station. And receiving that message from the radio station, that radio tower then sends out the message in radio waves throughout all the country. They send out that message in radio waves throughout all the countryside, and your car antenna It picks up those radio waves and you hear the radio. That radio tower, it received a message from the radio station. Receiving that message, it broadcasted it all around. That's the idea here. That's the idea. Sounding out the word of the Lord means these Thessalonians were like a radio tower. They were like a radio tower that received the gospel message and then broadcasted it all around. That's what they were like. This gospel message did not originate with them. It originated with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ taught the apostles. And these apostles were going forward and bringing the good news of Jesus Christ. And now they were broadcast. These Thessalonians were broadcasting it all around them. And think of what their message was. They were repeating the message that Paul brought to them. They were saying things like, they were saying things to their fellow Thessalonians, and even beyond that, they were saying, men everywhere have sinned. Men everywhere have sinned, and they deserve, and we all deserve hell for that. We deserve eternal death. Men everywhere have sinned against Jehovah. But Jehovah has sent the Savior from sin. He sent the Savior from sin. He's come. Repent. Believe in Him. Believe in Him. And they have added, we do. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we do. We repent and we believe. Join us. Do the same thing. Place all of your hope in Jesus Christ. That's what the Thessalonians did. Understand, that's our calling. Be like that radio tower. We receive the message of the gospel, and broadcast it to all around you. Say to others, you're sinners. We've sinned against Jehovah God, but Jehovah God has sent the Savior, Jesus Christ, from sin, and all those who repent and believe in Him are saved. Repent and believe. Trust in Jesus Christ. Join us doing that. Echo the message of the gospel. Now notice that the Thessalonians and we have the calling to spread this message to all around us. We have a calling to broadcast this as far as we possibly can. The Thessalonians did that. They sounded out the word throughout Greece and even beyond. Look at verse 8. It says, "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad." They broadcasted the word, first of all, throughout Greece. Macedonia and Achaia, those two regions that are spoken of in verse 8, those are the regions of Greece at this day, when Paul was writing. Macedonia is the northern region of Greece. Achaia is the southern region of Greece. Macedonia is where Thessalonica was. Achaia is where Corinth and Athens were. It was not easy to spread the word in Achaia and in Macedonia. It was not easy at all. Think of what those places were like at this time. These were idolatry-filled cities and nations. Idolatry-filled. Their cities were filled with temples to Greek gods and goddesses. That's all the people knew. The fathers, they would be working in those temples to these goddesses and gods. Thessalonica itself was only 50 miles southwest of Mount Olympus, where the Greek gods supposedly lived. In that region, think of that. In that region, these Thessalonians were spreading forth the gospel. They were sounding it abroad. They were sounding it abroad in thankfulness for their Savior, whom they knew and loved. They were sounding forth the truth that Jehovah is the one true God and that men everywhere have sinned against Him. They spoke the truth that God sent a Savior. They called men to repent and believe in Him. And remember, these were not theologians. These were the members of the church. These were not men with seminary training. They were members of the church in Thessalonica. Broadcasted the gospel because they knew what Jesus Christ had done for them. They were doing it in thankfulness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit working in them. And we are not told exactly how they were able to spread the word so far throughout all of Macedonia and Achaia. It's a big region. We're not told exactly how they were able to do that, but the point of maybe not telling us, maybe that the point is, they did everything they could to spread the gospel. Each person in his station or calling did everything he could or she could to spread the word. Remember that Thessalonica was a big city in Greece. It sat on the Ignatian Highway. The Ignatian Highway was a highway that connected the eastern world of that day with the western world. Connected Greece and Rome with Asia Minor, with Syria, places like that. So the Ignatian Highway had many traders going back and forth. Thessalonica was right on that highway. Thessalonica was also a city that sat on the Aegean Sea. Many ships came in and out of that port city every single day. There were sailors, there were traders in that city. They did whatever they could to spread the message. The church did whatever they could to spread the message to those people. When they talked to customers or when they talked to co-workers, they looked for openings to speak of who Jesus Christ their Savior is. They spoke of the calling to repent and believe in Him. When they were walking down the road, when they were on a trip, they did what they could to spread the message of the gospel. And that message began to spread. It spread in their own city. It spread beyond that city. It may even be that when they would talk to those sailors at the dockyard, or when they would talk to those traders, that those traders and those sailors would go into other parts of Greece and spread the gospel there. They would spread the message that they heard from the Christian Thessalonians. The gospel spread far and wide. What they believed regarding Jesus as their Savior, the verse 8 says it not only went out into Macedonia and Achaia, but it went even beyond that. Verse 8 says it went to every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. It may have even gone as far as Italy. It may have even gone to Spain. It was going everywhere. Verses 8 and 9 indicate to us how fast and how far this was spreading. Paul and Silas at this time, they were likely in Corinth. And Corinth was a long way south of Thessalonica. In verse 8, Paul says that your faith is spreading everywhere, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Verse 9, when it says, they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, that there Paul is speaking of people that were reporting to them what the Thessalonians were doing. That word show means report. They're reporting to Paul what the Thessalonians were doing. Paul was way down south. Yet people were coming to him and they were saying, these Thessalonians believe. And they're spreading the truth of who Jesus Christ is. They're spreading the truth that men must repent and believe. They're spreading that truth everywhere. That's why Paul says at the end of verse 8, they do not even have to speak anything about these Thessalonians. They have to say nothing. They don't have to report on how they are doing, on the strength of their faith or their walk of life. Paul says to say nothing because everyone already knows. Other men would come up to them and they would say, have you heard? Have you heard about this church? It must be applied to us tonight. People of God, follow this model. Sound out the word to all around you. Just picture tonight a church. Picture tonight a church that is visible, that is seen. This church has members that want everyone to know the truth of who Jesus Christ is. They want everyone to know. This church is not afraid. Not afraid to speak of who their Savior is. Picture that church. And let's be that church. Let's be that church now and for the rest of our lives. It's very difficult. That can't be minimized tonight. It's very difficult. It was very difficult for the Thessalonians, and it's very difficult today as those who live in the environment in which we do. The world today is becoming ever increasingly intolerant of the truth. The world does not want to hear that there's salvation alone in Jesus Christ. They do not want to hear about sin. They don't want to hear about this calling to repent and believe in Christ. People at work don't want to hear about it. The colleges don't want to hear about it. Even the Christian colleges are starting not to want to hear there is salvation in Christ alone. Even among the people here in this city, this town. We live in a pretty Christian town yet. Yet we so easily can be very scared of speaking of our belief in Jesus Christ. Very scared of approaching someone who is continuing on in sin and telling him of the need, the calling to repent and believe in Jesus Christ. We can be very scared of what they're going to say, scared if they start spreading around, oh, that person, he's just a goody-goody, or she's just a goody-goody, always telling us what to do. Become scared of that. Receiving the Word. Having received the Word and being so thankful for who our Savior is, let us go forward and spread the gospel. Let's sound it out. Just think of what we have tonight. Think of what we have. We are sinners who deserve that hell forever. That's what we deserve. We've sinned against God. But God is Christ, our Savior, to deliver us from the wrath to come, as verse 10 says. We have eternal salvation. In thankfulness for that, let's spread the gospel. Do what you can to spread the gospel right here. Start right here. Sometimes we think that we have to go to faraway places to do that. That's okay to do, but don't neglect your own neighbor right here in this town. Don't do that. Look for any opening that you can with your neighbor. Look for any opening you can. Maybe there's a neighbor who is miserable because he's continuing in sin. Maybe that neighbor has lost a loved one recently, very miserable about that. They're not experiencing any comfort. Speak to them. Call them to believe in Jesus Christ. Invite them right here to hear the truth. When talking to your doctor, when talking to your dentist, when talking to the bank teller, look for that opening. Every time you speak to someone new, or even a neighbor that you've known for a while, every time you speak to them, think to yourself, how can I speak to them of whom my Savior, the Savior that has given me everything? Ask the gospel here, but even beyond this area. What an opportunity we have to spread the truth far and wide, to broadcast it today, more than ever before. We have computers, we have things like social media. What an opportunity to share things there. Share the truth. Truth of God's Word. Also, when you start speaking to other people at work and at college or wherever you are, speak to them, but speak to them always with this hope that they would believe. That they would believe and they would go spread this message too. This message that Christ has come. And those who repent and believe in Him are saved. Speak to them with that hope. They would spread the message to. Who has this calling to sound forth the word? The church that has heard it. The church that has received the gospel. Sounding out the gospel means that we are like that radio tower that's received a message. We spread it abroad to everyone we can. Now in the last place tonight, understand that we must support that message that we speak with our mouths. Support that message you speak with your mouth with a godly life. The Thessalonian church, they supported what they sounded out with their life. Verses 9 and 10 show us that. Remember in verses 9 and 10, Paul is speaking of how there were people reporting to him how these Thessalonians were doing. It says, they themselves report to us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So included in this report that people were giving to Paul and Silas about the Thessalonians, people were saying that the Thessalonians were truly living a godly life. They truly were repenting. It was not as if these Thessalonians were going around telling everyone else to be sorry for their idolatry and to turn from it. No, they themselves were doing it. And the lives of these Thessalonians made clear that they really believed in Jesus. There were people going to Paul and Silas and saying, these people are waiting for his Son from heaven. That's obvious to us. We've seen it. They're not living lives as Jesus Christ is never going to return and judge all men. No, they're living as those who believe and know he's coming again. They're living in prayer, seeking the righteousness of Jesus Christ, seeking strength to serve God in everyday life. They believe. They believe Christ is coming again. How important that was, that they supported what they were speaking with their mouth. They supported that with a godly life. If they were not doing that, their sounding out of the word would have been very negatively affected. Think of it, if they were going around telling everyone else to repent, to be truly sorry for this idolatry, but they were not doing it themselves and continuing on with their idolatry, think of what effect that would have. The people of Thessalonica would see the church still living in idolatry and they would say, what are you talking about with repentance? What does that even mean? You're clearly not sorry. You clearly are continuing in sin. We don't even know what repentance means. Others in Thessalonica, they would see the church continuing on in sin and they would say, why do you tell us to repent? You don't even do it. Who actually would live like you are saying we are to live? Who would do that? It really must not be so great to be one who serves the Lord. It must not be such a great thing. You don't even do it. They continued in their sins and did not repent, their witness would have been terribly negatively affected. But the Thessalonians, they did support their witness. They supported their witness by living lives of repentance and faith. People saw that they truly were sorry for their idolatry. They had a good example to follow when these Thessalonians talked about repentance. These people in the city, they saw the lives of the Thessalonians and they said, they continue to wait for Jesus Christ and lean upon Him even in the midst of great persecution and difficulty. They're being persecuted, but they continue to serve the Lord and trust in Him. What a God they must have! How powerful He must be. What a wonderful thing it must be to serve Him. These Thessalonians supported their witness with a godly life, and may we do the same thing. Support that sounding out of the word you do with a life in God's service. May it be ever so clear to all around you that you are repenting. We don't have to go out of our way to do that. Living a true life of repentance, the world around you needs that. Also, may it be clear that we are waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. We are confident in His return. Ask yourself tonight, am I living a careless life? Am I living my life as if I think Jesus Christ will never return and judge all men? Is that how I'm living? Ask yourself that. Let's be those who live truly waiting for Jesus Christ, living lives of prayer, seeking to serve Him. Your godly life supports the sounding out of the word. Our example bolsters what we say with our mouths. May others see that godly life. May others see that godly life, and may they say, what a God they have. How powerful He is that He works in them to continue to repent and believe, even in the midst of their difficult life, even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of sorrow. In conclusion, remember how all of this works tonight. God sends to us as people the Word. We hear it, we receive it by the power of the Spirit. Receiving it, we broadcast it everywhere we can. The truth that Christ has come, and all those who repent and believe in Him are saved. We spread that around. And we support that witness with a godly life. May we do that by the power of Christ. May we do that. May it truly be said of Calvary Protestant Reformed Church, from them sounded out the Word. Amen.